free kids workshops are back in stores at the Home Depot. On the first Saturday of every month, from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., bring your little ones to a local Home Depot for a hands-on learning experience that kids love. Find more kid-friendly projects and kids' workshop kits at homedepot.com/kids. For 25 years, the Home Depot has been building confident, future doers with its free kids workshops. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. While supplies last, U.S. only.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this Wednesday, 7th day of September 2022. And tonight we have, we have on the board Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
And we have way out yonder in Missouri, Pastor Joe Larson.
Yeah, I'm here, ready to go to work, boss.
And then we have a special guest tonight. She's ready to take on the deep state because, you know, who's there in the deep state but Chuckie Schumer. That's right, Chuckie Schumer. We're going to be speaking on something here, preaching on something here in a minute that is completely foreign to Chuckie Schumer, and that's the truth. He will never wear that out at all.
Even the face.
Right. Okay. And so, but right now we have with us Diane Sayre. Hello, Diane.
Hi.
Hi.
Glad to be here.
All righty. You're ready to rumble with Chuckie and the deep state.
I hope to. That's the first thing, is to provoke him to come out in the open. He won't even admit he's up for re-election this year.
No, he won't. When he gets out, he'll be in a crowd. Now, he's good at threatening when he's surrounded by a bunch of communists standing up and threatening Supreme Court justices. But, you know, what do you think Chuckie would do if he came nose to nose with one of those people, even with the women on an elevator or someplace where he couldn't get away? I think you'd see Chuckie running like a rabbit because that's the kind of guy he is. Anyhow, that's, you know, anybody, and it's been my experience over all of my years in a pro-life ministry, fighting for the lives of the precious unborn, being a voice for the voiceless, people that are adamantly pro-abortion, adamantly. I've never found one yet that wasn't a coward. You know, when it comes to, especially these bloody abortionists, they will run like scared rabbits when you run up against them face to face. I've never found one yet that wasn't a coward. Well, when it comes to, standing and killing an innocent baby, they've got no problem there. But anyhow, after saying all that, we're going to get right into the Word. But before we do, I have a friend, a good friend, dear friend, Jim. His name is Jim. And Jim's wife, Jim had told her, whatever you do, do not take the bioweapon shot, what they call the vaccine. Do not take that. Do not. And she agreed not to take it until her daughter said, nope, you can't come see grandchildren unless you've taken the bioweapon. So she did. She went and she took the shot. And very shortly after that, she started changing, and I mean radically changing. She became very hateful towards him. She just turned on him. They had a very good marriage up until then. Everything was fine. But as he says, you wouldn't even recognize it. She's like a totally different person. And she ended up hating him for no reason. Well, we know what the reason was. It was the poisonous poke. And it was an interesting thing because I have an article here that was written back, and I've got to find the article, by a professor who said that vaccines would someday destroy the very souls of people. And it looks like that's exactly what's happened in that case. Well, and she turned on her husband with a hatred, turned into a different type of person, went, divorced him, and left him at a time when he was very vulnerable because he was about to have surgery. In fact, he had surgery, and he needed some very, very serious surgery. And she took off and left him, and now she's going after after his property and after little property. Well, he had quite a bit of property, but she's going after whatever he had. Just unbelievable, and it's all about the vax. So we want to start off with prayer, and I'm going to ask all you folks out there listening all around the country to join me in that prayer for Jim, because he's not the only one. This has happened to, we had several people, even in the church, who, same situation, their adult children, you know, drank the Kool-Aid. They drank the Kool-Aid. They went through the public education system, went to public colleges, and just became totally indoctrinated into Antichrist communism. And so, again, we've had many cases, and this whole thing, part of this whole COVID thing and these death shots called vaccines, what aren't vaccines at all, has to do with destroying families, breaking up and destroying families. It has really caused a lot of damage. And I'm going to tell you, folks, those that were smart enough not to take the shot, you're going to see, in fact, it's happening now, but they're trying to keep it out of the media. Just for example, I wanted to say that we did a report a couple of days ago that just 2 years ago, there was an average of about eight athletes around the country, young athletes, healthy athletes, would die in a year with a heart attack on the field. And they were eight. And we're talking about soccer players, football players. That went from 8 to 800 just in the past year. And nobody knows about it. The fake news media is keeping it quiet. They do not want you to know that because Big Pharma has told them, you're not going to talk about it. And, of course, they bow to Big Pharma, who's doing all the advertising on their stations. So, anyhow, with that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I want to hold Jim up in his situation. I talked to him today, and he was in a lot of pain. And he just cannot understand why, you know, what happened, how this could happen to him, and from going from a good marriage and a happy family to what he has now. So I want to hold Jim up and just ask, Lord, that you would intercede and be a comfort to him and everything. And, Lord, that you would bring that wife of his to repentance, to bring her to repentance. She has cheated her husband, turned on him, and she needs to repent of that and be restored. So these things we ask in the name of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. And I do want to say our condolences today for the family, as today I did the funeral of Marilyn Nicholas, who was a dear friend for a long, long time. And Marilyn died. She was 75, and she died of a heart attack and cancer. And so our most sincere condolences to her husband, Bob, who has been a dear friend for over 60 years. and the family. So there you go. She finished her course. She beat us home, Joe. And so, and with that, let's get right into the Word. The title of the message was Truth or Consequences by God. And we left off in John chapter 16, verses 12 and 13. Joe, would you want to read those verses?
Sure. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Albeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come.
Okay, so here now, when he says, I have many things yet to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. By the way, Diane, if you have a question or comment, just jump in. Just jump right in and ask. So he's making a statement, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. And Joe, do you know what the reason for that was, what he was saying? He was saying that this, go ahead.
My guess is they weren't saved.
No. He was telling them that at this point, you're not going to understand it. Until it's thoroughly explained to you, you're not going to understand what I'm about to tell you. And so here he said, now be it, when he, the Spirit of truth, come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, this, Joe, is where we got the books of the New Testament. It was speaking to these apostles through the Holy Spirit. He explained to them things that were to come, right. And then they were to write down what the Holy Spirit was teaching them.
The Comforter, when he came, I think it was Matthew, that when the Comforter comes, he will remind you of all things that I have said unto you so that they wouldn't forget.
Absolutely. And so here also now, remember too, what he was telling them, and the Holy Spirit was telling them how they were going to leave this world, how what their end would be. So knowing that, they continued in writing the Gospels right up until the time that they were crucified, until they were martyred. And so, again, that's how we got the books of the New Testament. Let's turn over to...
Well, and the Holy Spirit here, the third part of the Trinity, is our down payment, the indwelling, those of us that are born again. That's the down payment on eternal life, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, who will reside in us, quote, forever.
Yeah, absolutely, forever. How about that? Okay, let's
go. Good feeling. That's called security, right?
Yeah, it doesn't get any more secure than that. And, you know, today when I was preaching Marilyn's funeral, I told him, I said, there is only one source of absolute truth available. This is one source that has the absolute perfect truth, and that's God's Word, the Bible, right here. It's the Word of God, and that's what it says. It's the only absolute source that we can completely and totally trust in. And so let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, read verses 14 through 16.
These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how that thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.
Okay, so let me ask you this. What is the church?
The living body. All of us are together. We are the saved to make up the living body. We're the lively stones that are built upon the cornerstone of Jesus Christ that builds the living church.
So then are all that have the name church or Christ on their on the signs out in front of the church? Are they are all Christian, or is there actually just a small remnant?
They're just a remnant. Those who have been born again have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, who have asked Jesus to be Lord of their life. They are the lively stones that build the living church. There's a lot of wannabes, a lot of profession, but very few have real possession of the Holy Spirit.
So when the Lord Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen, many come, but few will enter, he was referring to those people then, just the ones that have received the
right, have received have received the mercy, and have asked the Father for forgiveness and asked to be forgiven and have Jesus come into your life.
So when he says this here, these things I write unto you, hoping to come unto you shortly, but if I tarry long, that thou may knowest how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God and the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, how is he to, in other words, as far as the elders in the church, how are we to come by a pastor in a church? Or should we put it up for a vote? Or is a pastor called? Is he examined by the elders of the church? Yeah. And the congregation, if a pastor goes to candidate. And what about the deacons? How is it a deacon? Are deacons voted on? Or is a deacon to be presented by the elders or by the people?
It has to be called by God. If he's a real pastor, it has to be a calling. He has to be called by God. Because this isn't a job. It's a calling, and in a way, a very dangerous one, because when you take the role as pastor, you are a watchman for one on the wall, warning your flock about dangers of the spirit, especially the spiritual kind, as well as the physical. And God said, well, the blood, if you don't do your job, the blood is on your head. So we have kind of a special duty, but there's also a greater responsibility.
So then pastors and deacons are held to a higher standard.
Much higher.
Okay, so he says this in chapter 3. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, not a striker, nor greedy, or filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. And so here we're saying, he says, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? So what is one of the main duties of a pastor? Is it marriage counseling and family counseling?
No, it's caring for the church. That's a broad topic, but he is put in charge to care for the spiritual feeding, the leading of the church in all ways.
Right, and when you say in all ways, is one of the duties, what I'm asking you, for the pastor is to do that counseling within that. I've been there for 50 years, and I'll tell you.
One of the big duties.
I've had to do a lot of that nowadays because of the problem with it, with marriage is we have a terrible problem with marriages in this country today.
We do.
And it's because people have become about me, my, and I. We're seeing one of the things that has really destroyed, I think worse than anything, is the feminist movement, what they call the women's movement.
Created, yes. I would say all the counseling I've done, that was one of the biggest problems, the feminist ideology and not understanding what God's concept of marriage is. And a lot of it was lack of working with the pastor before marriage. Actually have somebody counsel them on what a marriage is, what's expected of you, and the idea that God says, you two are to become as one. And so many people have never had any counseling or had very little counseling and spent more time on their wedding plans or their honeymoon than they did on planning a life together. That was the problem.
Right. A lot of times they're not married in the church. They go before a justice of the peace or something. And, you know, I have...
A so-called church, you know, one of those, you know, we were married in a church. The pastor said, hi, I'm here, and, you know, for, you know, X amount, I'll marry you, and congratulations, and that was the whole thing, you know. Nothing,
well,
really.
Well, you know, I always have at least three counseling sessions to find out if they understand. You see, there's this mindset out there that they don't take God serious, and...
No.
That's a big mistake, not to take God seriously. When God, when you have those wedding vows, and you make that vow to Almighty God, till death do you part, you know, through good and through the bitter and the sweet, to death do you part.
Isn't that like a covenant? Aren't you making a covenant before God?
It is, and God expects you to keep it, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Sarah.
You're not sure, don't make the covenant. Don't make the commitment. Wait a while.
Yeah, Diane, do you want to give us a woman's point of view there?
Well, I think one terrible problem of the feminist movement is it's become so pervasive that now we have men who think they're women. So it's getting pretty extreme, I would say. And on the first things, you know, I kept thinking about Paul's letter to the Corinthians, looking through a glass, for now we see as though through a glass darkly, or in a glass darkly. I think we're very challenged here. We're actually limited by being here in the flesh. There are so many parts of our physical existence that actually get in the way of a more clear, shall we say, spiritual vision. And the people who were able to locate their identity in something immortal are able to be closer to the truth, I'll put it that way, have less fear. Because if you locate your identity in all of these things of the flesh, whether it's what you own or how you feel or are you getting pleasure, or then you have to live in fear, because these are all things that can be taken away from you, and when you die, they're gone. So,
well,
I think this is something very challenging, especially in the time that we're in right now.
Well, you'd be right. When he says that we see through a glass darkly, but then when that which is perfect comes, you know, we'll see it even if...
Yes.
He's referring to the completed canon of Scripture. At that time, they had the Old Testament, and they knew under the law, but they weren't... They didn't have the New Testament. They didn't... Which, basically, the New Testament is really a commentary on the Old Testament to a degree. And so they did not fully understand what was coming, and then especially when it came to marriage, because, like, if you read in Malachi, God was not real happy with the way these men were treating their wives, and you know, he was telling you that their tears of the wives of their youth, you know, fall upon his altar, and it's because they had taken and twisted and turned his laws that he gave them. And they used them in which way they could divorce their wife for burning their dinner.
And the Democrat Party.
It was...
To make it say whatever they wanted to say.
Well, I'm not sure the Democrats know what a wife is.
Well, they're not sure what a woman is, so yeah, let's be careful there.
Well, what percentage of the Democrat women actually believe that men can have babies?
I think it's about 36% of the college-educated white Democratic women believe that, you know, a man can have a baby. Yep.
Okay, so let's change.
The poll that was just out, and it said in the average in men, 22, the men of the through this WPA intelligence survey, 22 to 25% of the men said, you know, men can get pregnant.
Well, you see, here, now this is, I'm going to give, this is deep. This is, you know, this is beyond what you learn at Harvard or Yale. But I'm going to tell you, it's deep. Listen, if they get pregnant, they are not men. If they get pregnant, they are not men. Men do not get pregnant. And so, there you go.
Did you just say you must be stupid to be a Democrat?
Well, they, you know, first of all, they weren't Harvard educated. They were indoctrinated.
Indoctrinated. Yeah, this is an education. Back in
the day, well, you could be as dumb as you wanted on the cheap. It wouldn't cost you anything to stay stupid. Today,
yeah.
To be as dumb as you can be, to be as dumb as you can be, you got to spend megabucks and go to Harvard, go to Yale, go to Stanford.
Alone, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that way.
Then you learn about pregnant people, birthing people, or birthing parent. Yeah, the birthing parent.
You come out of there thinking men have babies, so you don't know the difference, and you don't understand why. Well, if you become an educator or a teacher, then you bring in things into, you bring like a chicken's nest in, because some of your students may think they're chickens, okay, and they. You give them a little place, or sometimes they tell the little children, maybe you're a dog and maybe you're a cat. If you feel like a dog or feel like a cat.
They identify as an animal, and they are allowed to do that in the classroom. Yeah, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
This is called confusion, I think, and God is not the author of confusion.
No.
So we know where it comes from.
It's absolute insanity. It's being given over to a reprobate mind. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. More to come. This is Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. In Matthew 24, verse 8, our Lord warns of a future time that he calls the beginning of sorrows. The world is on the brink of that time. In Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, we read, hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood touches blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yes, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. I believe that passage of Scripture currently describes the deplorable moral condition of both America and Israel today. Please join with us on September 11th for a National Day of Repentance, fasting and praying for revival. Encourage your pastor to preach a sermon on repentance, fasting, and revival on 9/11/22. May God bless America.
Once a man's home was his castle, only his foes would violate. And the border of his property was the moat round his estate. All these kingly rights of sovereignty, once bestowed on us by God, have been lost somewhere in history, in the fine print and the fraud. Once a man and his religion was protected by the law. In America, the Constitution formed a verbal wall. Now the law that used to separate is a law that's daily breached. Now the worried watchman on the wall is crying, heaven's under siege. Heaven's under siege, woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government, but heaven's under siege. Heard the watchman sound a warning call back in 1992, when they murdered Dickie Weaver, just like they'll murder me or you. when they stormed the church in Waco. Women and children burned alive. And now the ones who rot in prisons are the ones they let survive. Heaven's under siege. Whoa, now heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. And now a voice cries in the wilderness as the Lord prepares his church. Will his called and chosen servants be found faithful on this earth? Will we pass the test of heaven's quest, never counting earthly loss? Will we fight like Christian soldiers with our eyes upon the cross? Heaven's under siege. Whoa, now heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. Gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. I said corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege.
Boy, I'm going to tell you, you can tell how much heaven's under siege by the corruption, and I mean corruption in government. And because of that, tomorrow at Doers of the Word Baptist Church at 14781 Sperry Road in Newberry, in the morning, we're going to have a prayer meeting. We have a prayer breakfast that starts at 9 o'clock. And then also in the evening, we also have a prayer meeting. This country needs, well, I'm going to tell you, folks, the Republican Party is not going to help us, and the politicians can't, but God can. And that, and we have to go to him and pray and ask for him to give us good and righteous and honest leaders, because so many of what we have today are so corrupted. And do you know, Diane, God's word, the Bible is pretty clear. Don't stutter. It's a sin to vote for a wicked person. Did you know that?
That sounds right to me.
Well, let me give it to you.
Think about it that way, but that I think that would follow truthfully.
Let me give it to you right from the word of God. These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect to the person in judgment. This is out of Proverbs 24, verse 24. He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, and you do that by giving him your vote. Him shall the people curse, and nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him shall be a delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. Every man shall kiss the lips that giveth a right answer. And then let me take you over here to Proverbs 17, verse 15 and 16. He that justifieth the wicked, and again, you'll justify the wicked with your vote. He that condemneth the just, even they are an abomination to the Lord. Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool? Get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it. And so, there you go. It didn't stutter, did it?
Nope. I think it also shows why you can't vote for the, quote, lesser of two evils, because you are still voting for evil.
Well, that's true, too. And so here, but what about those say, oh, gee, look, nobody's worth voting for at all. Does God always seem to provide a way? Does he provide something out there? Because if you don't vote, do you have any right to complain when the Democrats steal your vote?
Well, I'll tell you, a dear deceased friend of mine, you may know the name, Amelia Boynton Robinson. She was an African-American fighter for the right to vote since the 1930s. And if people saw the movie Selma, she was the one who was beaten and left for dead on the Edmund Pettus Bridge. And she was the person, after her husband died, she and everyone who came to her husband's funeral lost their job the next day because they basically deputized everyone in the Ku Klux Klan, and they took down all the license plate numbers, and anyone who was at the funeral lost their job. So she called on King to come down and help. But she said that for all the blood she shed and others for the right to vote, that she would never think of not voting. But she said if there was a situation where I could not in good conscience vote for the candidates there, I would go and I would write in a name. I would write in someone's dog's name. I would write in anything. I would register a protest so that I had made a stand, because it was too sacred of a right to not do it. But I could not bring myself in conscience to vote for someone who was not qualified to be a leader.
Well, you know, this is something because we had a number of people had decided when Obama and Romney were running, they told me afterwards, they wrote my name in.
That's funny. I made an ad. I was running for Congress way back then. And what was that, 2012, I think? So I made a radio ad, which was a man having a nightmare, and the wife wakes him up. Honey, what's wrong? What's wrong? He said, I was having a terrible nightmare. There was only one name on the ballot, Obamney.
Obamney.
Yeah. And today we have Joe Obama.
Yeah. I was close to my wife and me to tell you, we need to remind folks when we say Joe Obama what we're talking about, because several people had come to like, who is this Joe Obama they were talking about on the radio? And we had to explain to them we took Joe Biden, Joe, and Barack Obama and put them together. Some of the people missed our humor. But one thing I want to bring up, we've got... out there, this election seems to be turning into a battle about abortion. And the Republicans seem to forget that when they got rid of Roe v. Wade, all it did was put the idea of abortion back to the states and let the states decide. Well, some of the states apparently are deciding in ways that, you know, we aren't happy with, but that's what the court ruling did. And we have this big problem because I'm seeing where a lot of Republican women are preparing to vote Democrat because they are in a state where they are fighting to keep abortion. And that goes back to what we were just talking about. It's a sin to vote for somebody who supports abortion, the killing, the shedding of innocent blood, the killing of God's precious children made in his image. And this is something that the churches are not, a lot of the church, the true churches, but a lot of the, you know, prosperity so-called churches out there, New Age and all this stuff, are not talking about the evil of abortion and how God, you know, is going to bring judgment on a nation that kills off its children.
Well, you know, one of the things you're hearing, this is a lot of what the Democrats are putting out there in the fake news media. They're telling you that these women, you see, and the idea is these Republican women are supposed to hear that. And because they're hearing that that's what they're supposed to do, then they'll vote Democrat. But let me tell you here on a situation I had. I had a woman who I knew for a long time and always seemed to be, you know, fairly conservative. And when it came to that, said that, well, she was for choice. And I said, let me tell you something. If you mean what you just told me, that you're for killing babies, from this moment on, okay, I want to cut off all contact with you. I cannot have any contact because God's word, the Bible, makes it very clear, okay, that the light can have no fellowship with darkness. Or Christ with Belial. And you, when you said that, when you tell, you cannot possibly be pro-abortion and be saved. You can't be. That's a lie told by a liar, because Christ came to give us life, and the enemy came to give us death, and you're embracing death and its wickedness and its selfishness, okay? So from this point on, if you meant what you said, unless you repent of that, we can have no contact at all. And response I got was wide eyes like a deer and like total confusion, like where, what?
Total confusion, total shock, right?
Yeah. And so, but that's what, that's my position, and that's what people need to do. You need to let them know.
The truth. We were just, the whole thing is truth or consequences by God, and what you're doing is telling God's truth, both of us right now. And this is one of the major things that the Republican Party cannot run for. If you're going to be pro-life, you're pro-God. If you are not pro-life, you are not pro-God, period.
And, you know, and the truth of it is, you know, Chuckie Schumer is an extremely wicked man. He's a very, very wicked man. And he's,
no,
if it's a sin,
he doesn't want killed.
If it's a, he probably have never known a sin he didn't embrace. Because
I think that's accurate. And New York is really extreme. I mean, they passed this super extreme late-term abortion everything here, I think, 2 or 3 years ago, which is just hideous. And the other thing that Schumer is really pushing, and I don't think people quite realize how very destructive it is his bill to legalize drugs nationwide called the Cannabis Freedom and Opportunity Act, which is really a slavery act, to destroy anyone's ability to think, to be human, to develop their God-given creative talent. And on this life question, you know, you had an ad there about the fraud of man-made global warming that was playing in between here. I think this green ideology is one of the most hideous things that has been taught in the schools and done to children. Because imagine teaching a child that they are destroying the planet, that exhaling, that their life is nothing but a carbon footprint, that it would be better had they never been born. And then you get, I had said to my husband, you know, that I thought we were going to be verging on people advocating for cannibalism. And sure enough, a few weeks ago, the New York Times actually had an editorial to that effect. So it really, you know, once you make a decision that human life is not sacred, the human beings are worse than animals, because that's what the environmentalists say, then you find yourself on a slippery slope straight to hell.
Well, you're right. And one of their icons on the left some years ago was Jacques Cousteau. Jacques Cousteau had made the statement that the answer to world hunger is very simple. Nature tells us that the strong eat the weak. And human beings are a great source of protein, and we need to make use of that. And to the left, that made sense to them. You know, it's unbelievable. Just like they're as far as Oregon harvesting, the left has no problem with that. It's a great industry. It's a very financially rich industry, as long as it's not them that's having their organs harvested. And it's the culture of death. It's the culture of death. This is why I refer to the Democratic Party as the Deathocratic Communist Party, because there's no type of death that they don't embrace, whether it's euthanasia, abortion, organ harvesting. However, if it's death, they embrace it. They embrace each and every. And the reality is this, that the corruption in government is total. It's total. There's no bottom to it anymore out there. And what you said, true. That New York state legislator that you have, it is a wicked, wicked state legislator. I can tell you, Diane, if I had my way, if there was a way that I could get within their legislative hall, lock the doors where they could not get out, I could tell you what, I could preach them right from God's word, the Bible, on sin and the fires of hell, to their hair would catch on fire. And boy, that would be that would be one of the nicest things to bring them to repentance, because they are a wicked people. They are wicked people. And so, anyhow.
Well, I think.
Go ahead,
Diane.
I was just going to say, we have a really difficult situation. I'm thinking about Jim, who we were praying for at the beginning, because the entire society is insane. And as you say, it starts at the top. We have a president who gives a speech saying that 75 million Americans who voted for Donald Trump are basically enemies of the state. This is incredible to have a president, someone who should be unifying the nation, uniting people for a higher purpose, instead, for his own selfish ends or the ends of his controllers, because I'm not sure how much Biden is still really cognizant of what he's doing.
He's owned by the Chinese Communist Party. He is owned lock, stock,
well,
and barrel.
Well, actually, I wish that were true, but I would say it's the British Empire. I think he'd be better if he were owned by the Chinese Communist Party. I mean, anyway, no, it's the British. They never forgave us for the American Revolution. Never. And we saw the War of 1812, the so-called Civil War, which was the War of the Rebellion, because the Brits wanted to come in on the side of the Confederacy because they wanted us to be producing cotton and tobacco and never develop industry, never develop manufacturing. They ran the Opium Wars on China. And you have the center of the so-called Great Reset, or what Prince Charles calls it, Global Britain, where they say we have $140 trillion stored up in our banks, and we're going to shut down fossil fuels, and we're going to shut down food production, and we're going to increase the death rate, because, of course, isn't that what happens? If you don't have energy and you don't have food, you're going to massively increase the death rate. And the United States, which had revolted, rightly so, against this mentality, has succumbed. We have become almost turned inside out from what our true identity was as a nation. Why were we a beacon of hope and a temple of liberty? Because we had a certain commitment to these sacred principles, which are true, which are expressed in our founding documents. And instead, now we say, well, there's no such thing as truth. It's whatever the majority says. And by the way, if you don't go along with our line, we're going to ban you from social media. You're not going to be allowed to say anything. And I must say, I'm experiencing this in my campaign here because, one, since I'm not with either party, they tripled the signature requirement. So I had to get 45,000 signatures in 6 weeks to get on the ballot. For a Democrat or Republican, it's 15,000. I had to get 45,000, and I turned in 66,000. I'm the only person in the state who succeeded at doing this. So the New York Times called my campaign office, and they talked to my campaign manager for an hour, and then they wrote an article, and they said, no one succeeded in making the threshold.
Oh, jeez.
Right? I'm like a non-person, do not exist. And I told my volunteers, because I didn't hire vendors, I didn't pay people to gather these signatures. I said to them at the beginning of it, I said, they have made an impossible task. No one who is being paid for this, who's clocking in and clocking out, will ever be able to do it. We will only do this because we are so committed to saving the principle of the consent of the governed, the principle of the electoral process in our nation. That's what will power us to do this, because people were doing 12 and 14-hour days, 7 days. It was such a difficult challenge. You could not have a day where you didn't get what you needed.
Well, let me respond to what you said. First of all, with this part, being an independent the way you are, then you are not dedicated to either one of the parties, which is a very good thing. Unfortunately, you know, we could have had a good Republican. The Republican Party platform is great. It's just the problem of it is you have the rhinos, the traitors within the party, as they You know, back in the days of the Revolution, they were called Tories, and actually the real name for that was Traitor Tory. Right. That was their real name, Traitor Tory, okay? And we have Traitor Tories today. They're Rhino Republicans, but they have, but you're not going to be owned by either party. The other thing, when I was talking about the Chinese, when I tell you about the Chinese, those in the government, in China's high ranking, have come right out publicly and stated, we own America. The people in high places belong to us. And the Biden crime family, the cartel, has been expected of getting over $1 billion, over $1 billion from the Chinese Communist Party. And so when I tell you that they're owned by the Chinese, this is, if you watch what he has done, everything he has done, and you'll see this too, on our borders coming in, the Biden crime family has been working hand in hand with the human traffickers and the drug cartels, and they're bringing in all of that, those drugs from China. A lot of that is coming right in from China. And so that's what I was telling you when he was owned by the communist, Chinese communist. That's where a lot of his money. And by the way, here in America, there are a lot, and I mean a lot, of Chinese in this country that, remember, they came over as for students and that, and then just disappeared. And I'm talking about probably 40, 50,000 of them that nobody knows about. And so, but the Biden crime cartel has been working with the Chinese communist hand in hand. But we're...
Hunter certainly has his deals, and certainly there is corruption. I will say that the government, well, at least Xi Jinping, and the direction that China is going is a big problem for this Great Reset crowd, because they have a 5,000-year-old history, and they are not... They said, look, getting people out of poverty is more important to us than banning fossil fuels, and we're not doing it. And that's a problem, because it's a nation of 1.4 billion people. So if you're trying to shut down all fossil fuels and a nation of 1.4 billion people says, sorry, we're going to keep burning coal until 2060 when we have nuclear power, they, you know, you think about Pelosi's flight over to Taiwan and the congressional delegations over there. We don't have to agree with their form of government, but the idea of trying to provoke war between the major powers is extremely destructive. And this British free trade ideology, this green movement, this hatred of human life, and the hatred of, I would say, why did, because of the creative, because what God, the creator, human beings are unique of every species, that we actually can transform the environment. Contrary to the environmentalists, human beings improve the environment. We can improve the environment through scientific progress, through certain principles of discovery. And this is what's been hated. And in fact, when we went to the moon, the British, there's something called the Tavistock Institute. You're probably familiar with MK Ultra, the project to introduce drugs on the campuses and things.
Right.
And they said, yeah, Tavistock.
Diane, I'm coming up to a hard break here, so just hang tight, and we're going to pick it up on the other side of that break. So just hang in there. We're coming up to it now.
Okay.
And when we come back, I'll tell you about the London mayor suggests Brits will starve and freeze this winter unless they
right.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.